Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 7. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
No, these 144,000 evangelists are not the only ones who get saved in Israel. They're the sealed ones of Israel. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to be martyred as Jews during the tribulation. They're going to see him who they pierced. They're going to mourn as for their own son. They're going to agonize over the fact that they put him to death when they see it for what it is. And the Bible tells us in this passage that they're from all nations, kindreds, peoples, tongues. And they stood. Look at that, stood. The Bible says that the ungodly shall not stand in the day of judgment in Psalm 1. These guys are going to be standing. Not only that, but they're going to be clothed with white robes and palms. Part of their attire that they will be given is white robes and palms. The real Palm Sunday is here. They all said Hosanna when Jesus rode in on that donkey in Jerusalem. And he's in the middle of that crowd just crying out, weeping. I mean, wailing, weeping. It was amazing. If we could have seen it with zoom lens, we would have seen Jesus just bawling for these people. It had to be just so confusing to the people. They're saying, Hosanna, he's the king, and he's crying. And what's he saying? If you zoom in a little closer, he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you together as a hen to gather her chicks, but you would not. If you'd only known this your day. But now your city's going to be left to you desolate. Not one stone will be left upon another. In 70 AD, that whole world was turned upside down. Beloved, what I'm saying is Jesus came and that was called Palm Sunday, but the real Palm Sunday is right here. These guys are given robes and they're given palms. And palms are a symbol of victory. They're a symbol of what was true. There's peace now. You know, when you ever see palm trees, it's like waving in the wind. Peace is indicated. They used them as tabernacle branches in the Exodus when they came out of Egyptian bondage. They would use palm leaves as part of their house when they made little tents and tabernacled out in underneath the stars. Beloved, these guys are given palms because what God is trying to tell you and me is that they have peace. They have won the victory. They have been completely, utterly, totally, decisively delivered. It's an awesome thing. And it's a multitude. It's going to be one of the greatest soul-winning campaigns the world has ever known. If you can think in your minds as adults right now about 7 years ago, think 7 years, think 3.5 years ago. It wasn't that long ago. And it seemed like 3 or 4 months ago. And the older you get, the quicker it goes. And boy, the years, the months, the days, the weeks, they just mount up. It's like zoom, quick. Folks, this whole thing is going to unfold in 7 years. They're going to remember it like you remember 9/11. Think about that. Gives you a little hanger for your heart. Remember 9/11? Where were you that day that the world stopped turning, right? You know where you were. You know what you were thinking. Beloved, what he's saying is he's saying a multitude are going to get saved in this time. Multitude. And the Bible says they're going to cry, in verse 10, with a loud voice saying, salvation to our God. Literally, you could add the word belongs and you can add it twice. We'll show you the other place in a minute. They're saying salvation belongs to our God. Now, I want you to understand something. If there's something you and I ought to be saying, we ought to be telling people salvation belongs to our God. But we don't take it as seriously as these people will. The Bible says, he that is forgiven much loves much. Remember that? And that's what's happening here. These guys realize they missed the first departure. They realize they have no reason to hope, but yet God interposes hope. He brought some Jewish evangelist. Did anybody ever come to you and tell you, here's how you can be born again? Did anybody ever sit down with you and tell you, like Paul told Philemon, he says, you even owe me your own life beside because I shared with you the gospel. You see, the reality is that if we would take seriously what was really in jeopardy, and that is a soul in torment for eternity, and realize that somebody cast us a line, that is huge. And you can cast lines too. These guys went around saying salvation belongs to our God. What's very cool about these guys is that when they say that, all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne of their God on their faces, and they worship God. Remember the picture large canopy like the cloud that Jesus ascended and lit up and went up back onto, that Ezekiel saw with wheels upon wheels. On top, in the middle, there's a throne. Now, there's 24 thrones representing the seats that the church will sit upon. These aren't affected. You got the four beasts on either corner, and all the angels, all the hosts of heaven, all fall on their faces now because these guys say salvation belongs to our God. And they all just say, whoa. The angels, the ones who said, I am mighty Michael, I have taken on the devil, I've put a chain about his neck, and I've cast him into a pit. He falls, all of them fall, because these guys testify. He is awesome. As if they didn't know it already. And yet the crescendo of their redemption in the midst of the fire is such that all the angels just fold their wings. And they bow their faces and they fall down. And when they said salvation belongs unto our God, these angels echo in verse 11 by worshiping and saying in verse 12, Amen. And look what they say. They say blessing. The word blessing is eulogia. Eulogies. Everybody ought to be eulogizing God. That's what they're saying. He says, and glory, doxa, has the idea of high esteem and opinion. May everybody have high esteem and opinion, glory. And verse 12 goes on to say, and wisdom, because only God could have thought of a way to take a sinner, and make him a saint. Only God could have thought of that. Just like only God could have thought of dying for us. Only God. Verse 12 goes on to say, thanksgiving, eucharista. The idea of Eucharist, the idea of good grace, good, it's all good grace. Thanksgiving and honor to Mao, the idea of giving him honor, just telling, you know, it's not about you. You could never save yourself. There's nothing you could do. You would fail because you're broken spiritually, you're bent. And God said, because you're so crippled, spiritually speaking, having strength to do what you want, but having no strength to do what you ought, I interposed my grace. I gave you the riches and credit of my Son, and I carried you all the way. It's awesome, folks. This salvation is awesome. It's complete. It's total. It's, yes, it is finished. Jesus declared, it's paid in full. Aren't you glad? It's a gift. It had to be. You couldn't earn it. You don't deserve it. He died for you. Hell is no longer an issue. And the Bible says, glory, honor, and power, dunamis, showing that He alone could have done this, and might, which is authority, it says, be unto our God. And literally take that word be there, and you can think in terms, it's added, it's a little italicized word, belong to our God is what they're saying. They pick up the refrain of these multitude of people. And then one of the elders leans over. You know, it's the church, these elders. And one of the elders leans over and says, what are these that are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? Verse 14 says, sir, you know. And he said to them, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. What you have to understand is that God's salvation has always been the same. Old Testament saints got saved, if you will, on credit. When they saw the sacrificial system in lambs and bulls and goats and sheep and doves and blood being shed, they had to see beyond it and realize God Himself would have to somehow provide a perfect sacrifice. The Bible says Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced. He got it. We talk about David, who was a man after God's own heart. He had messed up so bad that the law just condemned, death, death, death. And yet he found forgiveness because he was a man after God's own heart. He had seen behind the sacrifices and seen beyond it and saw that God had to provide something because we were shapen in iniquity and in sin our mothers conceived us. And he saw beyond all of the pageantry of the temple worship and he saw the blood. Beloved, he remembered that when the death angel came over Egypt, that he said that when I see the blood, I will pass over you. They washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. The only thing that saves is Christ shedding His blood for your sins. Can I say it clearer? It's all God wants you to know. You cannot save yourself. You deserve to be damned forever. Your sin is mounted up upon your back and it keeps mounting up every day. If you don't know God, you're getting further and further from shore. And God loves you so much that He screams to your heart, "The blood! The blood! If you'll just take my Son at His word and believe that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life, and understand that He shed His blood in your behalf." It is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, the Bible says. And it's the same right here. They washed their robes white in the blood. And when somebody came up to them with a sword and a guillotine and they said, "Renounce Him or die," they stood up and said, We will not be moved. He died for me. And I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I shall see Him in the latter day. Beloved, this is their cry. And this elder tells them that they washed their robes in verse 14 in the blood of the Lamb. And the Bible says in verse 15 that therefore are they before the throne of God, serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell with them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall sunlight upon them nor heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto fountains of living waters. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes. You want to know a really neat thing about their connectivity? The Bible says the old things were written for our examples and our learning. Remember that? All the Old Testament things. Where do we see these guys in the Old Testament? Well, you remember Joshua. He's on the march. You remember how he came into town, boy, and he went around that city of Jericho 7 times. And that whole city just fell down flat. And God was saying in no uncertain terms as He split the Jordan River, brought them into the land, brought them around Jericho, brought it down, began to wreak victory after victory after victory. Y'all's time is up! These people answer to them. They see the anarchy. They see the Antichrist. They see all of the wickedness and death. And they are getting a clue like the Gibeonites in Joshua chapter 9 got a clue. They said, "You know what? I don't know what we can do. I don't know how we're going to figure this thing out. They're on the move and we're going to die. We're all going to die. I'll tell you what, let's get some old beat up clothes and get some moldy bread and crusty bread and we'll go pretend we come from a long way away and we'll say, 'Hey, let's make an agreement with you. We want to make a treaty. We heard about the Lord your God.'" And those guys did, and they fooled Joshua, and he made an agreement. And they were like this is the fiery furnace redemption going on here. These are the guys who came out, Nethinim, they became called later. The word Nethinim means given, fastened to. You see, what happened to Gibeonites was that they actually got taken care of by Joshua. He made this agreement, and what ends up happening is that the rest of the country says, "We got to whoop up on them because they've become traitors." Joshua comes in, he wipes out all those other armies, and he says, "But because you have fooled us, you will now be bearers of water and hewers of wood to our God." These guys were put to forced labor in the temple ministry and became infatuated, deliberately in love with Jehovah God, like nobody in Israel even was. And that's what these guys are. These are the multitude who are coming out of the great tribulation. And the Bible says that they're going to be with the Lord wherever He goes. Now picture this. When a king goes somewhere, he usually takes his entourage, right? Well, at this point, they're all kind of mounting up and they're loading up heaven and they're getting killed left and right and they're just kind of filling up the fold. All these people are dying. But when the Lord comes, He's coming back with the armies in heaven. We're going to be with Him, but they're going to be with Him. When He sets up His kingdom, He's going to have an entourage. And that entourage is not us, it's going to be them. You and I, we get to live in the heavenly Jerusalem. That's our home. These guys, they go with Jesus when He goes and sits in His throne with David as a co-regent in Jerusalem, which is literally, physically going to happen. Jesus, King Jesus, ruling with a rod of iron, that's where we're going. Well, they're going to be always walking around saying, "Salvation belongs to our God." And everybody's going to say, "It must." Look at them, those guys were there.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.